An engineer presents conceptual designs for the Portage Cove Harbor Boat Launch Project. And a look at early season snow conditions near Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. The conceptual designs for the second phase of the Haines Portage Cove Harbor expansion are nearing completion. The community got a look at the drawings for a drive-down sport fishing ramp and parking lot, and what the improvements are expected to cost. There's a notable design change prompted by safety concerns raised by a resident and supported by the assembly. What may have been a scenic trail between the parking lot and the boat launch is now slated to be just a sidewalk. The concern is that it's not safe to have lots of people walking where vehicles are backing up.
It's not going to be an elaborate seawalk.
Brandon Ivanowitz is an engineer with P&D in Juneau.
It's not going to have interpretive signage and trails on it. It won't have fancy pavers and medallions cast in it.
At a meeting in Haines, Ivanowitz presented the conceptual designs for the boat launch and parking improvements. He said it's still important to have a sidewalk in the space between parking and the boat launch.
We still need to provide a safe pedestrian route, and so we're not really going to call it a seawalk, but we still need this designated pathway for pedestrians to walk, just similar to the side of a road. We've got to get people out of the parking area and give them a safe place to walk.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has a cooperative agreement with the Haines Borough for this project. Fish and Game is funding most of the improvements. Right now, the department has $2 million available for the project. By 2018, it will have another $1.5 million. The borough has $420,000 set aside for uplands development in the harbor expansion. That comes from a state bond. Fish and Game could have another $1.5 million for the project in 2019, but that isn't guaranteed yet. The cost of the bulk of the improvements is estimated at about $3.7 million. That includes a 10% contingency. And that would fund construction for a boat launch ramp, boarding float, gravel parking lot, harbor park, sidewalks, and curbs. Ivanowitz said as the design stands right now, the harbor park would replace what is now Lookout Park. It would include a concrete plaza with a decorative medallion in the center. The park would also feature a memorial wall, planter boxes, benches, picnic tables, and barbecue pits. The parking lot has 10-foot by 22-foot vehicle stalls. It also has 12-foot by 50-foot and 10-foot by 40-foot trailer stalls. There are four additive alternatives that could be considered. Those aren't in the base bid for the project. The add alternatives include harbor utilities, lighting, paving, and striping. A retaining wall and pad for the harbor office is another alternative. If all of these options were added to the project, it would bring the cost up to about $5.8 million. Not all of the add alternatives would be eligible for Fish and Game funding. From here, the conceptual design needs to be approved by the Planning Commission and Assembly. After the Assembly gives the go-ahead, the project can move into the design phase. There will be public hearings at different stages of design. You can see the conceptual designs and link to cost estimates with this report on our website, khns.org. As winter descends near Haines, adventurers face weak snowpack and avalanche danger. KHNS's Barrett Wilbur reports on early season snow conditions.
This year, the first avalanche reported near Haines was a close call.
There's a snowboarder coming down near Nottahini and figured a significant avalanche that, you know, probably could have buried a person had he been caught.
No one was hurt, says Haines Avalanche Center Director Eric Stevens. His voice is a little scratchy because it's coming straight from the Alcan. He's headed to an avalanche conference. And he's worried about the unusually poor snow conditions he's seeing in Haines Pass.
Normally we have a much thicker, stronger snowpack by this time of year. You know, I've been forecasting in Haines for 7 years now. I don't think I've seen it set up quite like this before, where it's so thin, so early on. Typically that leads to some pretty big avalanche concerns.
October had half its usual precipitation, Stevens says. In Haines Pass, there's less than 2 feet of snow above the tree line, where typically there'd be 3 to 5 feet. Thin snow could create danger later in the season. When temperatures plummet at the surface, snow underneath can grow together into facets, big, hollow crystals that don't hold weight well.
So it forms a pretty important weak layer, and that can persist for weeks or even months after it's been buried by future snowstorms.
Stephen's recommendations for people who want to get out into the backcountry: make sure everyone wears and knows how to use a beacon, shovel, and probe. Stay away from weak-looking snow. If you're less experienced, stay off slopes more than 30 degrees. Stephen says the Avalanche Center will start making forecasts in a few weeks when more people are out gathering weather observations.
Even if you don't really know anything about snow or snowpack or avalanches, you can still submit useful data. Just knowing, you know, what you saw while you're out there. Was it snowing? Is it windy? Was the snow hard or deep and powdery? Any amount of detail that you can provide is really helpful.
You can learn how to submit observations at khns.org. In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilbur.
Southeast Alaska's Regional Native Corporation will distribute close to $11 million to its shareholders later this month. Juneau-headquartered Sea Alaska announced the distribution October 27th. Payments will range from almost $600 to around a third of that amount per 100 shares. The total depends on the class of shareholder and other factors. Sea Alaska has almost 23,000 shareholders living in Alaska, the Pacific Northwest, and elsewhere. Operational income will make up $1 per share of the payments. That includes revenues from recently purchased fish processing plants, as well as timber and gravel operations, plus government contracting. Sea Alaska's permanent fund investment account makes up 86 cents per share. The largest source at $4.10 per share is a pool of natural resource earnings from all 12 regional native corporations. Shareholders who are also members of an urban native corporation such as Juneau's Gold Belt will get the full dividend of $596 per 100 shares. That includes the resource pool earnings. Those who are also members of village native corporations such as Cake Tribal receive $186 per 100 shares. They do not include the resource pool earnings. Those go to the village corporation. Recently enrolled shareholders' dependents also received the smaller payments. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.
The following is a listener commentary and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoint of Lynn Cannell Broadcasting, the Board of Directors, or staff.
Hi, Chilkat Valley residents. My name is Sarah Davidson, and I am the Inside Passage Waters Program Manager at the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, also known as SEAC. My colleagues and I recently attended the Mining Forum and wanted to offer some thoughts. We had hoped that the Mining Forum would have provided accurate information about protecting our local streams and rivers. But we were disappointed at the continued misinformation spread about what a Tier 3 designation would mean for Chilkat River residents, users, and visitors. Being designated a Tier 3 water body is an honor. It means that the Chilkat River is so exceptional, so central to the economy and lifestyle here, and so culturally significant that everything possible should be done to protect it for all those who depend on it. Don't just trust what you've heard secondhand. Double-check the information you're given. This is critically important. Look up the facts about Tier 3 waters on the EPA and DEC websites. The fact is that a Tier 3 designation would not prohibit any current uses of the river. It would protect them. It protects them by preventing permanent damage from industrial waste and mine pollution. So Tier 3 would continue to allow boating, fishing, recreation, and yes, even throwing fish guts in the river. If we want to continue to fish on the Chilkat, if we want to continue to recreate on it, to hunt for the animals that drink and eat from it, if we want to have it draw tourists to the region, then it's imperative that we protect it. What would prevent these activities from happening is damaging this river. Tier 3 maintains its current health so that we can continue to depend on it. We look forward to continuing this important and timely conversation about what a Tier 3 designation for the Chilkat would look like. Respectfully, Sarah Davidson at SEAC.
The preceding remarks are the personal view of the commentators and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoint of Lincoln L Broadcasting, the board of directors, or staff. KHNS welcomes the submission of responsible commentaries by our listeners. Please come by the studio, call us at 983-2853 or 766-2020, or go online for a copy of the commentary guidelines at khns.org under listener submissions.